It's Warriors Archive, The Making of a Champion, presented by HPE. You can go to warriors.com, get it, the full schedule and the info. Let's go back in the time to March 8th, 2015. It's the Warriors and the Los Angeles Clippers, and a big night for Draymond Green. 23 points for Draymond in a Warriors win, 106-98. To help us go back in time, Brian Seaman is with us. He's the voice of the LA Clippers, radio first and now on television. And Brian, this is a key game, I think, for the Warriors in this sense. The two teams had developed such a rivalry over the previous few years that I think in 2014, 2015, the Warriors knew if they were going to go anywhere, they had to get by the Clippers.
It didn't seem to be very difficult for the Warriors, to be honest. I mean, I agree with you that it was a rivalry in the sense of both teams got up for one another eventually. But the Warriors had such a bloodthirst for the Clippers, and I respected it. I feared it. And ultimately, I think it consumed that locker room for the Clippers. If you want me to be honest, I mean, talking with some of the players during that season and then subsequent years going up against the Warriors, they wanted to win those games so bad that they ultimately psyched themselves out and weren't able to perform to their peak levels. And I mean, obviously, look, let's not split hairs. The Warriors were the better team by a mile. Like, it's not even close. But on any given night, you know, you can give them a run for their money. But it just felt like, I don't know what the talk was like after games for you guys, but I would imagine if the Warriors were slumping, if you put the Clippers on their schedule, they're going to get sharp, and they're going to get sharp in a hurry. You know, for the Clippers and that group, it just wasn't there. They just weren't able to overcome Golden State after the Warriors won the championship. The claim to fame for that group is that they're the last team to knock the Warriors out of the West, and which is no small feat. But, you know, I go back to that game, and I remember that series. I think there was a Christmas game against the Clippers and the Warriors. Clippers opened up the game 0-16, would ultimately win, and it gave me a lot of hope, thinking, man, the Clippers can play a really bad game and still find a way to pull off a victory against the Warriors. Well, we know that when the Warriors play their best, there wasn't even a close second, and it felt like the rest of that series with the big three that the Clippers had, that there was never really a game where the Clippers could compete. In fact, the Clippers didn't win a game at Oracle Arena. They won the first game with Chris Paul, which was back in, I want to say, Christmas 2011. They didn't win another game at Oracle Arena in the regular season until Chris Paul had left the Clippers. Lou Williams, I want to say, put up 50 in that game at Oracle.
Oh, yeah.
So it was a rivalry because both teams kind of circled each other. But at the end of the day, I mean, the Warriors were just, obviously, they were just so much better at that time.
Well, Draymond started that game by getting 11 first-quarter points, which for Draymond, that's a big number. He was 3 of 4 from the three-point line. And I remember at the end of the first quarter thinking, okay, Steph Curry hasn't scored, but the Warriors are still up by one. But from a Clipper viewpoint, and from, say, an opponent viewpoint, how was Draymond Green viewed by the Clippers at that point?
So, like, I loved him. Like, I think that was the respect of it. But I would say this, like, you want Draymond to score, right? Because if it's him shooting the ball, that means it's not Clay or Steph, right? So, mm-hmm. I mean, I know that Draymond had the respect for everybody. And I remember playing the game, who would you want? Like, if you could choose three players off the Warriors, who would it be? And I'm a Clay Thompson fan, but it'd be Steph, Durant, and then it would be Green, right? I just think he brings a toughness, the wild card. He brings those intangibles that you need. I'm a fan. Like, I'm a real fan of him. I love how he's outspoken. And as a basketball player, he is exactly what you need. I remember there was a stretch during his free agency, and I don't know how true it was, that he might go maybe to Detroit or to another team. And I'm like, you know, I just don't think he's going to be very good if he goes anywhere else. He's one of those players that, if you have a good team, he makes it a great team. And that's what he does. And he can guard all five positions. He's a real handful for DeAndre Jordan. I'm a huge DJ fan, but he was a real problem when he was guarding DeAndre.
Yeah, it was funny. I think he was a key for the Warriors against Clippers because he could guard everybody from Blake Griffin to, you know, even on a switch, he could probably handle Chris Paul for a possession or so. And I think he was a difference maker in this game. He and Klay Thompson scored the last 16 points of the first quarter, and then Draymond came out in the third with 10 more and helped the Warriors cruise to this game. But I was struck, and it was in my notes on the post game. I do some notes in this program I have, and you know, the Clippers had come in at 40-22. The Warriors were 48-12 coming in, and to me, that always was remarkable because you and I have been around long enough that the you know those two teams meeting with those kind of records, well, that just wasn't happening before.
I mean, it's funny because that was you know that was a switch of ownerships. You guys had been there now for 3 or 4 years. And now Steve Ballmer had taken over, not quite a year, but there was just a different vibe for sure. Doc Rivers was a different vibe for sure. And so everything had really turned around for our two organizations. And, you know, you've been around the league a lot longer than I had when I got in. I didn't truly appreciate ownership until, well, I saw bad ownership, right? And you realize just what a culture setter owners are and what they are willing to do and how bad they want to win. And does that trickle down? And I have to say that, you know, if you were to put a short list of the best owners in the NBA, your group, my guy, they're in the top three, top four easily. So it's a turning point for our organizations when that happens, despite the star players. Like, even with Blake and Chris, I kept thinking before ownership changed was like, well, once our talent cycle runs out, what's our plan? Now I don't think that. There is a plan. I don't know what it is, but I know there's a plan. I know the owner's dedicated. The same thing goes for you guys. In full disclosure, I remember hearing your owners, you know, say something about light years ahead of everybody. I rolled my eyes, and that turns out for maybe they were ahead of the curve a little bit, and I give them nothing but credit. But when you have good owners and good players and good people in the front office, great things can happen. I think we're on the cusp of doing that. You guys have been in the middle of it for the last 5 years, and you know who knows what happens a year from now. Are we in the conference finals together? Maybe. Say so.
I think so. Yes. I think that'd be fun. I think that'd be fun. And I don't know if you remember this. Remember after the game what happened and Draymond was being interviewed on ABC television?
Then Dante Jones walking by and touches him and stops and stares him down.
And, you know what, though?
Yeah.
But you know what? I just think that was part of the rivalry between the two franchises. And I think the NBA could use a little more of that sometimes, you know, that it's not always, you know, so, you know, hug, handshake, and how's your brand doing? I think we need a little bit of that in our game.
Well, and I'll go back to the Game 7 win the Clippers had just a few months before, you know, in May of 2014. And there was that, I think that was the first emergence of the secret hallway.
That's right. That's right. After Game 7.
Somebody from the Clippers had yelled out in the hallway something that was lighthearted, but at the same time, it's just not the time. And in a great way, from a distance, I think it caused a bit of a ruckus. And, you know, it's funny how that rivalry went. And it seems like it's not there anymore, though, because I hope it regenerates itself in some form or fashion. But I just knew that, you know, going into those games against the Warriors, it was always like, it was almost like a sitting in a dentist chair, you know. And J.J. Redick said it best. He said, when you're guarding the Warriors, when you're playing the Warriors, every single possession, you have to have the intensity and focus like it's last 2 minutes, Game 7 of the NBA Finals, or else you're going to get torched. One mistake leads to 100 mistakes, and you're going to have a lot of problems. And I think that did wear down, you know, that Clipper group, and as it did literally 28 other teams for sure. So there was a great deal of respect. I miss that rivalry in certain ways. I don't miss the results the way that they happened for much of that rivalry, but I look forward to getting a new one here soon.
Well, Brian, I hope you and yours are staying safe and doing well. As always, you're gracious with your time, and we appreciate it.
Anytime, and stay safe.
My thanks to Brian Seaman. The Warriors are re-airing classic games showcasing the rise of Stephen Curry, Klay Thompson, and Draymond Green. All happens through June 5th. We're turning back the clock to bring you Warriors Archives, The Making of a Champion. presented by HPE live on Facebook. Go to Warriors.com for the full schedule.